The Sig Sauer was somehow out, cocked in Ryan's hands. The trader's Armalite had also moved around with the lazy ease of a snake. Christy came out of nowhere, forcing her mouth in between the men.
Gaia, damn it! You'd rather murder each other and ruin the attack than back off and admit either of you could be wrong.
She pointed at Ryan.
Back off, Cotter. You know how to do it.
Traitor's dog-brained wrong.
It was agreed that I run this mission. If we were still with the Warwags, Ryan, then I'd have had you held down and shot through the back of the neck for mutiny.
You used to do the shooting yourself. I've seen you do it.
Yay, that's right enough.
JB let the Uzi ease down again.
We do it the way I said.
Ryan looked at Traitor, breathing slowly, feeling the rage passing. He had been within a ragged moment of putting a 9mm round between Traitor's eyes, assuming that the old man's AR-16 hadn't chilled him first.
I said that we'd do this my way, Ryan. I want to hear what you got to say.
I say you best not push this any further. I say that this could all go sadly wrong, Traitor. I say that there could be some of the wrong blood spilled in the dirt. You understand me? That's what I say.
Traitor relaxed, aware that he'd gotten his own way.
Good. Fucking good.
The sec men seemed happy enough to rest with the horses as a rear guard. Rainey had spoken with Traitor, arguing that he should remain with them. But he'd been talked down.
Easy enough. They wind up the cranks on those crossbows and get the bolts loaded up. They form a small perimeter, say 40 yards, and watch out for trouble.
Won't see much in this fog. Might do better to stick close and quiet.
Traitor didn't even bother to argue with the armorer.
Rusty, you got your blasters ready? Make everyone an ace on the line. I'll head for where Jamie thinks the kids hold up. Jamie and Abe, stick close to my side.
Traitor looked around them, his deep-set eyes lingering for a moment on the faces of JB and Ryan. Rainey held up a hesitant hand.
Traitor?
What is it?
Well, you know there's women and children down there in the camp.
Wrong, sec man. All there is down there in the fog is the brushwood camp. Every single person in that camp, young or old, male or female, drunk or sober, is an enemy to us. Understand? Every single person.
The fog was singularly unpleasant. In only a few paces, the main attacking party was already out of sight of the sec men and the horses, though they could hear the animals for several minutes before the mist muffled the sound into silence. The stench of sulfur was heavy in the wreathing clouds, and it clung to the skin and clothes, insinuating itself into mouth and nostrils and pores of the skin. It was cool and clammy, like trying to breathe through a wet kerchief. As Jamie led Traitor along the winding trail, the rest kept close to them, walking through the dank, dripping stillness, aware of the trunks of trees swiftly disappearing into the fog. For most of the time, there was no sign of life at all in the forest. Ryan was walking fourth in line behind Jamie, Traitor, and Abe, and he glimpsed the shape of something. The wild, meaty boar with the broken tusk sent the group of humans as they stood paralyzed, watching its bulk disappear again toward the north of the track.
Bit too close.
They resumed walking west toward the brushwooders' camp. Christy stumbled against Ryan and nearly fell. He half turned to steady her, shocked at the wide-eyed look of horror etched on her face.
What?
Oh, Earth Mother. Back. We must turn back now. I feel desperate danger behind us. Turn back now.
She pushed Ryan aside, running clumsily past the others, nearly knocking over Abe.
Whoa!
She grabbed at Traitor's sleeve.
Stop!
What?
We gotta stop and go back, Traitor. I can feel it. Very, very strong. Behind us.
Feel what, Christy?
Christy stared behind her, into the dark bank of fog that was all around them, like an encircling wall.
Something's gone triple wrong, Traitor. Maybe they know we're coming. I can't tell what it is.
Ryan started to go back toward where they'd left the 10 sec men.
Going somewhere, Ryan?
You heard her. Christy gets a feeling as strong as this one. Then you take note of it.
She doesn't know what it is, but she feels something might have gone wrong. No, we keep going.
For a moment, nobody moved. Magnus Letty, at 19, was the youngest of the patrol of SecMen, only by 6 minutes. Then came his identical twin brother, Marcus. They had been with Baron Wayman since they were lads of 11. Their mother had been a cook in the Ville, but had died of pneumonia in that cold winter. As far back as Magnus and Marcus could remember, there hadn't been a father. Eudora Letty, their mother, told changing tales of a sailor, a packman, a whaler, and a shootist. In the end, it didn't much matter. Wayman was a good master, kind and considerate, never demanding too much from the men and women who served him. And Bill Rainey was also a decent sec boss. Magnus and Marcus Letty were sitting together, part of a 40-yard defensive perimeter that had the horses at its center. Every man faced outward, into the fog that snaked between the tall pines. Every man had his powerful crossbow armed and ready across his lap. The forest was dark and silent, only the ghost of a moon filtering through the mist.
Marcus?
What is, little bro?
Might only be little now, but baby boy Magnus is catching up to you.
It was the oldest of jokes between the identical twin brothers, but it still made both of them smile.
What do you want, Magnus?
Just wondering whether we might see those wild brushwood folks. Bill says there's plenty of them.
Marcus grinned, his teeth white in the silvery light.
Raggedy-ass bastards won't be no harm to us, bro. Just aim and loose a bolt at them.
The brothers blinked at the apparition that had sprung into sight from the woodland. One moment the space had been empty of life, swirling with the dense fog. Then, in the beating of a heart, there was a man there. Neither Magnus nor Marcus were worried. They knew what brushwooders looked like. They were filthy, in old flea-ridden furs and torn hides, had long, lank hair and blotched skin, and were better than halfway toward scabbies. But this wasn't a brushwooder, so he obviously wasn't any threat to them. From top to toe, the stranger looked even smarter than the Baron himself. He wore expensive Western-style, stack-heeled boots in black leather with a silver snake crawling around them, and a shirt as black as midnight and jeans to match, with lines of silver rivets. A chunky necklace of top-quality raw turquoise hung around his muscular neck, and a large opal was studded through the right ear. He was smiling at the brothers, showing the glitter of a gold tooth at the front of his mouth. He looked to be somewhere around 50, with a totally shaven head.
You lost, stranger?
Are we not all lost, friend? Are we not all wanderers through that dark valley that men call life?
Sure we are.
Marcus grinned, not quite certain of himself.
Sure.
The man walked closer, light on his feet for a tall man. Both the brothers had quickly noticed that he wasn't armed. All he was holding was a small disc of inlaid silver that he was spinning on the end of its long chain. It was very eye-catching. Magnus was drawn to it, squinting at the whirling circle that seemed to generate its own purplish light. He hadn't realized how tired he was.
You boys look sleepy. I've just been around and talked with all your good friends, 8 of them, and they got real sleepy as well.
Magnus glanced to his right, seeing that the next man in line, Jericho Cooter, had actually fallen asleep on watch. His crossbow lay beside him in the dirt. Odd thing was, though it wasn't all that easy to see through the shifting fog, Jericho seemed to be sleeping with his eyes wide open.
That's all right. Lots of men sleep with their eyes open, don't they?
The man had such a gentle, persuasive voice that Magnus found himself nodding in agreement, even though he'd never actually heard of such a thing before. It was also strange that Magnus couldn't even remember saying anything about Jericho. Not out loud.
Shame all our friends aren't here. They've gone ahead to raid the camp and free the Baron's son.
Shh! Little brother, that's secret. Not supposed to tell anyone sacreds.
Now then, friends, what secret would that be? Good companions don't have secrets from each other. I'd tell you any secret if I had one.
Would you?
Magnus found his eyelids were weighing heavy, and he wanted to lie down and rest, just like Jericho. The stranger was such a kindly, good man. If Magnus hadn't felt so tired, he would have gotten up off the ground and given him a real big brotherly hug.
Why not?